What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Dynasty Dugout Show, a podcast covering all things minor league baseball. Get a front row seat to the action with everything you need to know about the future stars of Major League Baseball. And now, here's your host, Chris Clegg.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Dynasty Dugout Show. My name is Chris Clegg. I'm the host of the Dynasty Dugout Show and the founder of the DynastyDugout.com. We are continuing our series as we go through each team's top prospects and farm systems to break them down. We are continuing to roll through each team's top prospects. We are almost there. It's almost opening day. We're going to wrap these things up by minor league opening day. And today, it's our last team in the AL Central. Before we head to the really fun AL West, actually, some really fun teams there. But these will wrap up on Friday this week. Today is the Minnesota Twins' top prospects. The Twins have a lot of talent, a lot of fun names, and we are going to talk about them all. Let's go ahead and get started here. At the top, we're going to talk about Walker Jenkins. He's somebody that I was really hoping to see this past week in minor league spring training, but unfortunately, I did not. He's dealing with an injury right now, which is a little bit concerning to me, just given that he has dealt with some injuries in the past as well. And from that standpoint, yeah, I'm a little bit concerned. You're probably going to notice, actually, that I have dropped Walker Jenkins a little bit in my updated prospect rankings. If you're wondering why, this is why. There's been some recurring injuries here with Jenkins, and I don't think that should go unnoticed. I think Jenkins is a really fun profile. He has an excellent frame. He's got a strong feel to hit. Jenkins, to me, has all the potential in the world to potentially be a plus hitter with potential plus power and even plus speed. He's actually a really, really good runner, but I do have my concerns here. Knowing a little bit more that he is hurt and knowing that this is not a new thing. So at the end of the day, man, I won't lie to you and say that I'm not super comfortable right now with Jenkins knowing that there has been some injuries and currently he's injured, might set him back a little bit. I don't know. I still love the profile. Like, this is still to the top guy in the system for me. But at the end of the day, I do think there's some questions that need to be answered with Jenkins' health, and can he put together a full season? Obviously, not going to have a full season this year. I do think he starts a little late before he heads to most likely single A, if I had to guess. But I'm guessing he probably starts in extended spring training, and then eventually moves to an affiliate. But yeah, right now, I am a little bit concerned about Jenkins, but long term, I do love the profiles I mentioned, the field of hit, the power potential, and the speed. It's a really fun profile, but right now I'm pumping the brakes just a little bit because there are some things that I am just a little bit concerned about with this profile injury-wise. But Jenkins, still a top guy in the system for me, and at the end of the day, I think he's going to be a really, really good player. Let's keep moving forward with Emmanuel Rodriguez. A really fun player, ton of upside in the profile for Imrod. He is one of the most polarizing players probably in the minor leagues. There is a ton of upside. I think he's got the potential to be the top prospect in all of baseball. And it wouldn't shock me a bit because there is power. There is speed. There's a decent feel to hit, but he's way too passive. He does not swing the bat often at all, which is a little bit concerning. He does need to swing more. Rodriguez would benefit from being more aggressive early in counts because he sometimes falls behind and then he doesn't get a pitch to hit. And when that happens, at the end of the day, he's getting out. He's striking out on a high clip. The contact rates are kind of meh. But when Imrod makes contact, it is really good. He put up a 9th percentile exit velocity of 108 miles an hour last year with a max of 117. Super legit. The max would have ranked 10th among all MLB hitters. So really good stuff there. The chase rate was super low. Chased less than 16% of pitches out of the zone. Anything below 20% is considered very high end. So elite chase rates from Emmanuel Rodriguez. I think at the end of the day that this is a really fun profile that's just going to need to make more contact. And if he can make more contact and be a little more aggressive, then this is a potential like 30 home run, 20 stolen base upside type play. And I think this could work out very well. Looking at Brooks Lee, he's kind of the opposite profile. He is a very safe, high contact hitter. And while he is passive, or I would say he's more selective than passive, he doesn't chase all that often out of the zone, and he makes a ton of contact. You know, Lee, switch hitter. He's a much better hitter from the left side, had an 860 OPS as a lefty and a 603 OPS as a righty. Struck out 14% of the time from the left side, 24% from the right. I'm looking at this profile, and I think Lee's ready to debut. He has all the tools you want to see. Last year, he slashed 275, 347, 461 with 16 home runs. He made contact on 79% of the pitches he saw, 90% in zone, very solid. The exit velocity is actually pretty good. Checked in with an average EV last year in AAA of 90 miles an hour, which is really solid for somebody that's a pure contact hitter. And his 90th percentile exit velocity was 103, which is right at MLB average. Man, this is a profile that I think is going to be really good, high floor, and not talked about enough. So when we look at Brooks Lee, I think this guy's ready. I think he is up soon and contributing. He can play across the infield, which is very nice. And he's going to be very, very solid. New player in the system, Gabriel Gonzalez, outfielder, 5'10", 165, but he's certainly bigger than that. I know that list is a little bit off. His profile is really interesting. When you look at Gonzalez, he saw a bit of a power breakout last year. He hit 18 home runs, but I will say that it largely became from the fact that he was playing in hitter-friendly environments. When you looked at the numbers, ultimately he hit a lot of his home runs in Everett. 7 of his 9 high A home runs were in Everett, which is a very hitter-friendly park. And single A, 5 of those 9 came on the road in San Jose and Stockton. Super hitter-friendly environments too. The exit velocities right now are closer to average, but the power is interesting. I think it's something to keep an eye on. Gonzalez, the concern to me is that he runs very high chase rates, 40% each of the last 2 years. Is certainly something to watch out for. He's hyper-aggressive. He makes contact about 75% of pitches, which is good. He does have a good feel for zone contact, but I will say, a little concerning with the chase rate there with Gabriel Gonzalez. But I want to talk a couple of arms. The first one being David Festa, who I absolutely love. I think he is going to be one of the more underrated prospects, and he's probably going to continue to be so until we see him do something in the majors. He's a 6'6" righty. He is really polished. He was actually one of the more unlucky arms in the minors last year when you look. He had a 4.19 ERA last year, but his FIP was 3.65. His BABIP was 3.49, which was very high. He leads with a big fastball, 94 to 96. It's 20 inches of IVB, but he's consistently 18, 19, 20, like really good ride on the fastball. It plays up well. He locates it well at the top of the zone for somebody that's 6'6". You wouldn't think that profile is one that could locate the fastball well up. That's exactly what David Festa does. The slider and changeup both sit in a similar velocity band, which is a little bit of a concern. I like to see pitchers with three velocity bands, but he's got the fastball and then the slider and changeup both at 87. I think that the secondaries are solid, though. The changeup actually gets good ride, and it averages 12 inches of horizontal with low spin rates. And it misses a ton of bats. Plays well off the four-seam. Slider is a shorter horizontal break, but it does have nice depth. He needs to throw strikes more consistently, but I do think we see Festa this year in the Twins rotation, and I think Festa is very underrated. Marco Raya, maybe he's not as much underrated anymore. I've seen him getting a lot more buzz around the industry. Former fourth rounder in 2020, he has been exceptionally good this year. Injuries have unfortunately plagued him. He's pitched just 127 innings in three pro seasons, which included 62 and two-thirds in 2023. He had a 4.02 ERA, 65 strikeouts to 22 walks. I look at the profile. I think it's a really good one. The arsenal is solid. Probably the best pure stuff of any pitcher in the Twins system. Mid-90s fastball with solid ride. Gets a lot of hitters to swing under it. I like the fastball a lot. It gets some good arm side run. It shows really good traits. The slider is probably his best pitch. It sits mid-80s with a lot of sweep. It averaged 15 inches of sweep regularly. Got some ugly whiffs on it this year. And he pairs it with a 12-6 curveball that gets a ton of downward movement. Raya, I think, has the potential to be a mid-rotation starter if he can prove health and pitch deeper into games. The most pitches he threw in a start last year was 54, which does give me a little pause, but I think we'll see the reins taken off of him a bit this year. One more arm to talk about before we get to some more bats, and that's Charlie Soto, who was their first round, at least a comp pick this year, 34th overall. Massive upside in the arm. I think that they were thrilled to get him where they did at that pick. I look at this profile. He's a 6'5" starter, big power arm, one of the best prep arms in the 2023 class. Fastball has made a major jump. He was sitting in the low 90s. Now he's sitting 95 and topping at 98 with plenty of projection on the frame. I look at the fastball. It sets everything up well. The changeup, very good pitch. He has a very advanced changeup for his age. Sits mid-80s. He can get firm up to 88, but has nice depth and fading action. And his slider flashes being a plus pitch at times as well. I really love the profile. I think Soto may be one that really pops off this year. Ends up being a really special type arm. Let's talk about a bat, because I saw this guy last week and was very impressed with Brandon Winokur. He is a 6'5", 210-pound shortstop outfielder. I'm not sure if he sticks as a shortstop long-term. I don't really see it, but I will say that he is very athletic. He moves quite well, very loud tools. Winokur makes a lot of contact. He hits the ball hard. Saw him do some damage against some MLB arms. The Red Sox in one of their games threw Chris Martin and Isaiah Campbell, two of their bullpen arms, and Winokur had a hit. And he made some good contact on both. Every time I saw Winokur last week, very impressive. He puts up good exit velocities. He mentioned he moves well. He has really good sprint speed times. And he was impressive last year in his debut. He has good bat speed. He posts high exit velocities. You know, he's shown strikeouts, but I think that if the contact clicks, then Winokur could be a very exciting prospect. So keep a close eye on Brandon Winokur. He may be one that really pops off. On the flip side of things, Austin Martin. Man, Martin has really fallen. He is not discussed at all anymore. But I actually think Martin is kind of a bit underrated at this point. You know, he was the former fifth-round pick out of Vandy in 2020. Fifth overall, obviously. And he really is interesting. Blue Jays traded him to the Twins as part of the Jose Berrios trade. He took a big fall, but I will say, last year, contact skills were good. 84% contact, 90% end zone contact. Chase rate was really low at 17%, one of the better chase rates in the minors, and the OBP skills have remained really good. Now, the power is not materialized at all. He had an 85-mile-an-hour average EV and a 101-mile-an-hour ninth percentile. I think he profiles like a 10-home-run bat, but he does have speed and the instincts to steal 30 bags. I think if Martin stays healthy, you're looking at a pretty good utility player. Very high floor. Now, is he super flashy? Has he got a ton of upside? No. Is he what people hoped that he would become when he was the fifth overall pick? No. But at the end of the day, this profile is still solid and one that I think you should buy in on. As is this next guy who I think breaks out this year, it's Darren Bowen. I think he's one of the more underrated arms in all of baseball. He was a 13th rounder out of UNC Pembroke, former school of River Ryan as well. And he was traded to the Twins this offseason. Now in the Twins system, I think there's a chance that he can really thrive. Last year looked really good when with the Mariners farm system, 3.88 ERA with 59 strikeouts and 59 innings. Did post a walk rate north of 10%, but this is a range he's been at for most of his career. Fastball sits mid-90s. It's a very low vertical approach angle with a lot of IVB, 12 inches of run consistently. He's highly athletic. He works quickly, but he makes it work. I am very excited about Darren Bowen's fastball. I think that it sets everything else up well. You look, he gets some ugly swings from his slider. That's obviously substantial. He has a curveball that plays off of it well. So two distinct breaking balls. He does throw a changeup on occasion, and it has about 7 miles an hour of separation from the fastball, but it gets like 17 inches of fade regularly, which is really, really good. This is a really fun arsenal, and man, I am very excited to see what Darren Bowen can become. I don't think there's enough love around this profile, and I certainly think he could pop off this year and be a really, really good arm. So I would consider buying in before it's too late and the stock potentially soars. A couple more names as we go down the list. Tanner Schoble. He's a infielder, second and third baseman. Smaller bat out of Virginia Tech. But while he's smaller, the skill set is really good with Schoble. He was a pick that I thought would actually work out better than it did at the time. I thought he was going to pop off last year after he got drafted. And while it was a fine season, I think there's still better days ahead. Last year he hit .265 with a .352 OBP, 16 homers and 12 stolen bases between high and double A. So it was fine, but the contact skills were good. His contact rate was north of 80%. He's also a pretty selective hitter. He picks his spots very well, and I think this is a hitter that continues his development. While he's not a huge fantasy asset, I think Schoble is one that really does potentially take off. Maybe not to be flashy, but to be a really solid player. So I would look at Tanner Schoble as a deep league target because I don't think the hype has really caught up yet. I think he's a player that is a lot of fun. A couple other guys, and I saw a couple of these last week. Jose Rodriguez. Rodriguez is a pretty stout build. He's 6'2", 200 pounds. He was a 650K bonus in 2022, and he took off in the DSL in 2022 with really big exit velocities as a 17-year-old. He had 13 home runs with 31 extra base hits in 55 games. He came stateside, and I thought he was kind of poised to break out, but it was just like an okay season. He slashed .262, .325, .412 with 10 doubles. He's pretty aggressive, and there are some poor swing decisions at times, especially against breakers. But the power's there, for sure. The big telling thing with Jose Rodriguez will be the hit tool. How does that develop? And if it does, then maybe we're looking at a pretty interesting player. This is Yasser Mercedes, another similar profile. He was the Twins' highest bonus back in 2022, $1.7 million, and he immediately showed really strong skills in the DSL, some power, and some steals as well. He stole 30 bases in the TSL that year. He's a very athletic frame. He posts good clock times when I saw him. Some good exit velocities as well. But injuries kind of did limit him last year, 25 games. Pretty uninspiring results. Slashed 196, 248, 381 with four homers. The strikeout rate was not great. But the BABIP took a big hit. That was the difference with him. I think he's likely between the player we saw in the DSL and the FCL last year. He's got some power upside and speed to burn. So a fun profile with Yasser Mercedes. A couple arms to hit on. Corey Lewis. He's one of the few remaining knuckleballers in the game. He throws that pitch in the mid-80s. Low spin, highest whiff rate of any of his pitches. Four-seam sits around 91, but it's really interesting because it plays up well. It's got a lot of life. 20 inches of IVB, 8 inches of horizontal on that pitch. He had a good year last year. Unique profile, but had 2.49 ERA across 101 innings with 118 strikeouts and 33 walks. I mentioned the knuckleball, mentioned the fastball, but he also throws a curveball, changeup, and slider. They all sit in the low 80s, but they all have distinct movement patterns. While Lewis' arsenal won't really blow you away, he does throw a lot of strikes, and he's really fun at that. I think this is probably a reliever long-term, but I think this year will be kind of telling as we see him in AA and beyond. So watch out for Corey Lewis this year. I think this year will be a telling year, but pretty fun and unique arm at that. A couple other arms to talk about. CJ Culpepper, very underrated arm, actually. One of the more underrated in the system. He was a former 13th rounder out of California Baptist. And last year had a really solid year with a 3.56 ERA across 86 innings. Split pretty evenly between single A and high A. You know, you look at this profile, he mixes a 2 and 4 seam fastball. The 4 seam sits near like 94. The 2 seam sits closer to 92. The movement profiles are distinct. The sinker gets a lot more horizontal movement on it. And he even mixes in a cutter at that same velo band at 91, 92. And it has pretty unique profile on it. Changeup actually mimics the sinker pretty well. And I think that's pretty solid. But there's only about 5 miles an hour of separation between the two. He throws a sweeper. Probably his best pitch, sitting at 83. 14 inches of horizontal. Curveball sits around 80 with a lot of downward action, but 10 inches of sweep as well. I might be a little low on Culpepper, and that may be something that I need to change. I'd watch out for CJ Culpepper. He might just be someone that could take off this year. Looking at another arm, Connor Prelip. I don't know what goes on here because he's been so hurt. It's been really tough to watch. I will say Prelip was very talented. He unfortunately needed an internal brace, not the full Tommy John. He has had TJ before. I'm really afraid that health keeps him from being the pitcher I think he'd become. Because when he's healthy, Connor Prelip is a really fun left-handed arm. So we'll see how he recovers. But I'm a bit concerned about this profile. But Dylan Kwestat, he was a draftee last year. Prep arm, cold weather arm, fifth rounder in 2023. Very athletic, 6'1" frame, throws a lot of strikes. Throws a 2 and 4 seam fastball, sitting between 92 and 96 with a lot of run up in the zone. He's one that has a prep changeup that's really advanced. Like I said, most prep arms don't have advanced changeups, but Dylan Kwestad does. Show up to 23 inches of fade at times, which is wild. He'll mix in a 12-6 curveball and a slider with very short break. He's shown the ability to pitch backwards in counts and can get hitters out a lot of ways, which is very, very interesting. We still need to see him, obviously, pitching games professionally. I did not see him pitch on the backfields last week. Well, I was hoping to, but at the end of the day, I think Kwestad's a pretty interesting arm, so I'd watch out for him. A couple other guys I saw last week. Danny DeAndrade, he is a interesting shortstop. He got a pretty big bonus back in 2021 of $2.2 million. Hasn't really lived up to the hype yet, but the contact skills are pretty good. Really just like to see him tap into more power. He has not developed into much power yet, but the contact skills are kind of the carrying tool there. Ricardo Oliver, he's kind of an older catcher, outfield hybrid type. He was older for single A last year, which kind of led some to want to write him off. But I think this is still a pretty interesting bat here. He did some good things, and he looked pretty impressive too. He had a couple hard hit balls off, I mentioned Chris Martin and Isaiah Campbell, MLB arms. He posted good contact rates last year with low chase rates, and he hit the ball pretty hard. Checked in with an average exit velocity of 89.5 and 9th percentile of 103.2, which are both those numbers are close to MLB average. I will say, there's a reason that he's been set back a little bit. He signed in July 2019. Then the pandemic obviously set him back. I think he will need to prove he can perform in high A and maybe even double A this year to show that 2023 was not a fluke. There's a couple brothers of big-time MLB guys. There's Brian Acuna and Byron Churio, who I both saw last week. They're interesting. They're smaller guys. They're still both like kind of wait-and-see types. But with the bloodlines and the potential there, you never know. Acuna and Churio could develop into a little bit of better prospects than I have them ranked right now. I'm a little lower in the system, but they're still intriguing. I didn't see this guy last week, but Junior Severino can mash. He hit 35 homers in 2023, which was at the very top among all minor league hitters. On the flip side, he struck out 33% of the time and made contact just 62% of the time. Those are not good numbers at all. There's power upside, and there are holes in the swing, especially against breaking balls. He reached AAA last year. He'll spend the entire 2024 season as a 24-year-old, hoping to crack the Twins roster. The power upside's exciting, but there will need to be more contact made if we want to see some improvements. A couple other bats that I like before we get out of here. Luke Kuechel. Kuechel was drafted last year out of Arizona State. Very versatile. Played second base, third base, center field. Second round selection in the 2023 draft. Small pro sample, but was really good. 31 plate appearances, 3 homers and 11 stolen bases. .288, .414, .478. In college, last year at Arizona State, made contact on 89% of pitches in the zone and 83% overall, and those skills carried over to the pro ball, were very good. The exit velocities are a little bit of a concern as well, but he did show a pretty good sample with Wood while a small sample. 89-mile-an-hour average EV was a 4-mile-an-hour jump from college. Don't expect that to sustain, but that's still pretty exciting. If that sticks, then Kuechel's a really fun player with some power and some speed, and obviously a really good feel to hit. Kalai Rosario, somebody that can mash. Saw Rosario last year in the Arizona Fall League. The dude can absolutely rake. It is an interesting profile. He struck out 30% of the time last year. He also walked at a 14% clip. He hit 21 homers across 530 plate appearances in the regular season. And then he hits 7 more in the fall league. This kind of approach reminds me a little bit of Emmanuel Rodriguez. It's very passive. He works deep in accounts, strikes out a lot. He walks a lot with below average contact rates. Rosario might just be a 3 true outcome player. So the Twins have some fun names. I look at this system and think they've done a good job of balancing the MLB team plus the minor league farm system. And I know, like, everybody wants to win at the major league level. They want the Twins to win. So I completely understand. Yeah, the farm system's fun, but win games. And I do think there's some exciting guys that can come back. Like, I look at Matt Cantorino, who has missed a lot of time. When healthy, he's been one of the best arms in the Twins organization, but he's pitched just 23 innings since 2021. You look at the profile, it's fun stuff. He's kind of a funky arm. I think if he returns healthy, this used to be an arm that had a big fastball slider and changeup combo. So certainly watch out for Matt Cantorino, who I think could certainly get back on radars. I like Zebby Matthews to take a step forward. He's a fun arm as well. He's got a deep arsenal, big frame. Not the flashiest of arms, But I do think Matthews has the chance to take that step forward, and somebody that we'd really like to see. We obviously want to talk about somebody they signed this year, Diver De Los Santos. He was their big international signee in 2024 for $1.9 million. He was supposed, or he's reported to be one of the best athletes in the class. He's one that I think could really show off and fly up boards. I mean, he's got a big arm at shortstop. He hits the ball hard. He has some speed. It's a well-rounded profile that I really like De Los Santos. So watch out for Diver De Los Santos and Andrew Cassetti, catcher. Cassetti is an interesting guy. He was a four-year starter at St. Joseph's College, 11th round draft pick. He put up rather impressive numbers. He is older, and I know that is a knock in some ways, but I still keep an eye on Andrew Cassetti. Obviously, Simeon Woods Richardson's still around, but I think that ship might be sailed on him. We shall see. There's also Damiri Pena, who I think is an interesting second base prospect, 18 years old. So some names to keep an eye out deeper, but I think that's going to wrap us up. The Twins system is a lot of fun. Thanks for hanging out with us. We will be back with you tomorrow with several episodes as we grind and finish these team-by-team rankings. And I am very, very excited to get to minor league action. And with that will come our daily minor league shows where we break down all the action, get you in early on all the prospects that you need to know. But until then, take care, and we will see you tomorrow.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.